the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five. Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, let's do that. We'll start with this, but then I have to respond to something that also just happened. So let me play this for you first.
Number five.
Among the five most important or interesting or funny items of the day. And this one would be most important for the people here in the county of Cook in the Chicago metropolitan area who would like to, you know, truth, justice in the American way, prosecuted properly, which is not exactly happening because the Cook County State's Attorney, Kim Fox, has had some news that has happened today that's probably not so great for her. And we'll get to that in just a second. But her day started just fine. You just heard in the news at the top of the hour here with our own Kim Gordon, no relation to Kim Fox, that that there has been now an indictment of Jussie Smollett by the special prosecutor who was named to look into the Jussie Smollett case and whether or not the Cook County State's Attorney's Office did anything wrong or Jussie Smollett did anything wrong. And he has now been indicted on filing false police reports, 6 total counts, 4 for the police report and 2 for disorderly conduct. So that's not such a great day for Kim Fox, but it started differently today for her. She was down with 100 clergy who gathered at First Baptist Congregational Church to publicly endorse her campaign for re-election. They detailed their rationale for the endorsement as well as to promote their strategy to assist her in her efforts.
The work that she has done here in this county, it has now become a national model for urban America. We praise God for her. And it's no coincidence that we're here in this historical church that Pastor Daniels has just gave us a little bit of the historicity. But the truth of the matter is, she's our black history hero.
Okay. All right. Now, she spoke about her record at the event, thanking the ministers for coming to her support.
I'm grateful for my record. And again, having been born and raised in the church, I know the saying, let that work speak for me.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of that work. Mm. I haven't been perfect.
Wow.
And it is the beauty of what it is to have grown up in the church is to understand your imperfections and the ability to be to be redeemed as such. It is that brokenness that allows me to see this work from a very personal narrative. And it is the gratitude that I have for these leaders here and across the city who have recognized that though not perfect, that the work that we are doing is far too important for us to go back.
Okay, it's one thing to be redeemed. See, imperfection and the redemption that I'm sure those ministers, those members of the clergy, those men and women of God who are in that room, they understand that what redemption, when we're talking about redemption, or they're talking about redemption, they're talking about redemption from God. They are not talking about re-election, however. Exactly. I like the guy back there who said, wow. Like when she said, I've made mistakes. Like, wow, I wouldn't have copped to that. But okay, go ahead. Yes. Okay, so now, having said that, then the Jussie Smollett indictment comes out a couple hours later. Indicted by the special prosecutor. He's going to have to come back to stand in front of a judge and explain himself. Coming up in a couple of weeks. So Kim Fox has just now issued a statement. I am reading the statement for the first time. I've just been handed it, and I've been assured that my head's going to explode after I read it. So I'm going to read it to you now. I pray that my head doesn't explode because I apparently need my head after work. Here we go. Cook County State's Attorney's Office charged Jussie Smollett with multiple counts, and today a special prosecutor did the same. What's questionable here is the James Comey-like timing of that charging decision just 35 days before an election, which can only be interpreted as a further politicization of the justice system, something voters in the era of Donald Trump should consider offensive. What? She's pulling James Comey into this? What the? Where? How? Okay. See, now we got to take back that redemption thing. I got to everything she just said there before. I got to take all that back. Wow. All right. We'll get to your 4, 3, 2, and 1. And we'll pick this up on the other side of the top 5 of 5. Let me just try to relax myself and get through the rest of it before we go completely insane. Or that when I say we, I mean me. Lauren Lapka's got the traffic and the weather.
I have one thing to say, though, Ro.
Yes.
When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. That is true. I like having the chorus now. Kim Fox had that this morning when she met with 100 ministers. And now we're going to just have that throughout the afternoon here. Speaking of Kim Fox, we will be talking to her opponents and what their reaction is. We should also offer it to Ms. Fox to join us right now to talk about what has happened there. They've released a statement that says, after Jussie Smollett has now been indicted, that the she says that the timing of this indictment is political. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. We continue on top 5 of 5. We're up to
number 4.
All right, now, we talked about this yesterday. There's a state lawmaker that introduced a bill that would ban pumping your own gas at a gas station. Channel 9, Nancy Liu, caught up with Camille Lilly. She's the lawmaker, and like, what's up with that?
It's a shell bill with a concept to address safety at the pump while creating convenience for the citizens here in Illinois. When you have an option, you can choose to go to self-service and pay that price. If you want a gas attendant, you can have a different price, a little higher for that convenience. And people do pay for conveniences all the time.
Yeah, but they have that already. There's a bunch of stations that already have that. You don't have to make it a law. You don't have to tell people that that's what they got to do.
Because you must all get delivery for your food.
Right? That's ridiculous.
And pay for the convenience.
So, station owner Stephen George says that if they pass his bill, he's going out of business.
We had hired another employees, and you're talking about not one employee, you're talking about 12 employees, you know,
yeah.
For each shift. Like us, we're running this station, you know, we have so much property tax, all of this, when you calculate out all of that, we're barely making it.
There you go. Yes. We cut him, as a matter of fact, he's so in trouble. This is so bad for him, we cut him off right before he could end his sentence. He can't even finish his own sentences. That's how hard it is to be a gas station owner. All right, checking in.
Number 2.
No, that's not correct.
Number 3.
That's correct. Joe Madden is shedding light on his separation from the Chicago Cubs. After bringing them their first World Series in 108 years. What have you done for me lately? Missed the playoffs. Are you kidding me? Well, it turns out he sat down with ESPN's Elvin Gonzalez. And, of course, we all know, too, Joe Madden is now with the Los Angeles Angels. And he said there were some philosophical differences between he and Theo Epstein. And the rest of the Cubs front office, by the time he was at the end of his tenure, he believes that Theo and the rest of the folks in the office wanted to control more of what was occurring on the field after what has been a disappointing previous year campaign. Here's Theo Epstein's response to the whole thing.
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, we talked all the time, but you know, if he's saying in hindsight, it could have been. I know that I've been open about this with you guys and with the team and with everybody that I've sensed and feared and been concerned with a bit of a growing organizational complacency, you know, over time that's developed in the aftermath of the championship. And I think that's something that we had to be open and honest about. and talk about head on and how to combat it, and different approaches that we could take to make sure we were working and competing and winning at a really high level.
I don't hear a that didn't happen out of Theo Epstein.
Yeah, we're not. Joe and I aren't exactly the same. Yeah, I think his approach was more that, you know, things will work themselves out. You know, these are great players. Let them play. These things will work out. But from our perspective, or from my perspective, there was a little bit more cause for concern. And again, it's not an everyday thing that I would try to step in and offer feedback or help or remind about expectations. But when we're falling short, not in results, but in how we're going about things, we've talked about this before, about, you know, the type of work and preparation I think should be expected in a big league situation. And then I don't think I'd be doing my job if I didn't step in.
Like the situation. It's the big league situation. What is he saying there, Kev, do you think?
Well, I think it made sense to split ways, as crazy as that sounds. I know he's just a few years removed from a World Series victory, but it does sound like there was a philosophical difference there, where they are on the same page, because he's saying that, look, Joe had more of a hands-off approach. He always has. He's kind of more the laid-back coach. We'll let things figure itself out, where that's against what Theo's saying, where he feels there's a sense of complacency around the Cubs organization. So those two aren't going to go hand-in-hand.
Okay. It's complacency, not be like being, because I think guys at that level aren't going to take to, you know, win sprints and that level of coaching particularly well. Guys either are or they're not involved in the process. Their heads are in the game or they're not in the game. And when you have a team, a young team that's growing and wants to prove something, they prove it. Then it's the complacency does kick in, and that's up to the front office to move people around. I don't think Joe was really the problem there. I think the players just didn't get the message that it was going to be all over, because it hasn't been all over for them. Not the problem on the south side. That's the exact opposite. You're going to watch that actually elevate now. You're going to see that the Cubs clearly on the other side of that mountain, White Sox climbing this mountain right in front of us. So that'll be very interesting and exciting, I think, on both sides of town this year. Checking in at
number two.
More and more celebrities are getting face tattoos. This is the dumbest thing ever. I mean, if you had a face tattoo, either you got drunk, you passed out, and your friends and enemies did it to you, or you've been to prison. There are only two ways that you get a face tattoo, or a neck tattoo for that matter. Now, Cindy Crawford's son, Presley Gerber, who is the brother of Kai Gerber, right? That's the one that's the, isn't she dating the Saturday Night Live dude? That nobody can understand why he keeps dating all these beautiful women? Pete Davidson? Anyway, Presley, I'll tell you something. The Gerber family is having a problem, even though the dad just cashed in on the Casamigos tequila. They're having problems because they got their beautiful daughter dating Pete Davidson. That's pretty scary. And then this kid, 20-year-old, now actor and model, Presley, has decided to put visible tattoos on his face, including one that says "Misunderstood," written in all caps, just beneath his right eye. He's not commented on the new skin art, but Presley was instantly ridiculed online for getting the new ink, which resulted in him making a short video.
You don't know how I feel. You're not in my head. What's the meaning of the misunderstood tattoo is I don't feel very understood, I guess. But I just wanted to come on here and be like, if anyone has shit to say to me about this or anything else, or my family or how I grew up or anything, I will give you my address, I promise, and you can come say it to my face.
You think Cindy got the... You think, what is she doing? Wait, No. No, don't give the address. No. Oh, my God. Time to wrangle in the 20-year-old. It's not easy, man. I get it. I'm a dad. I understand. Not so easy. You raise them through teenage years, and you never know what's going to happen. But I'm telling you, the face tattoos, that's where it's got to stop, right? You got to make sure that the kid's not going somewhere to go get the face tattoo. You got to have that conversation in the kitchen beforehand. You got to make sure they come to you and say, hey, Mom, I want misunderstood underneath my left eye. I want Crazy Killer on my forehead. I want a neck tattoo. Then they have a little conversation. And finally,
number one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
If you're hopelessly looking for Mr. and Mrs. Right on a dating service, maybe Grandma Hattie Mae is your answer. 83 years old. 83 years old. But she's got the best tips for navigating Tinder. Hattie, who recently appeared in an episode of Extreme Love, told Inside Edition that all guys are swiping right.
I'm 83 and no surgery, no shots, and no implants. So I put myself on Tinder, and then it was kind of like shopping at a good store. You know, there's a lot of things to buy here, and I don't even have to pay for them. That's the easiest way to meet a lot of men, and I do love to meet a lot of men. Like most people on Tinder, I was interested in meeting guys and also in getting laid. I don't know if you're allowed to say that on this. Also making love.
Oh, my God! She's an 83-year-old grandmother! She's on Tinder! She also gave helpful tips. I don't think I want to hear this if you're thinking about hooking up.
In the event you're feeling, I don't want to move forward with this, you have to say to the guy, I know this isn't really how I come on, but be kind and say, we both wanted it to happen, but it isn't.
No, we didn't.
And then if a guy isn't into you, don't get hurt. There have been times that we've had a drink and we've gone up to my apartment and then I say no. You know, they take their coat off or something, and then I said, you know, I wish I could say yes, but I really can't, you know, but you're really attractive, and I was glad to meet you, and of course, nobody wants to hear that, but part of what it is, you're looking for the one.
I don't want to hear it either from the 83-year-old grandmother about how she's hooking up on Tinder. All right. I got to stop here. We got the news. I'm a minute late for the news. We got to get to the news at the bottom of the hour on the other side. We'll pick up the Jussie Smollett story. Just been indicted by a special prosecutor here for all the stupid stuff that he did. Let's close this up.
The top five at five.